This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are joined by psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott on this segment of the program. Siobhan has a little bit of insight, if you will, into the minds of horrible human beings, like Lori Vallow Daybell. She's the author of the book, The Minds of Mass Killers, Understanding and Interrupting the Pathway to Violence. Lori Vallow Daybell, certainly a mass killer. Talking about being convicted now of 3 murders, one more trial now going to be taking place, more charges of murder against her. It puts her now into the realm of serial killer. Siobhan, when you look at this case and how it all ended with the defense really not making much of an argument, saying they're going to rest because they believe the state did not prove their case, and then the verdict, are you surprised by any of this? What are your feelings on how this all wrapped up?
You know, we had been concerned and speculating, what can they possibly say here? What can they possibly do? Who is going to come forward, you know, to speak well of this woman at this point? But I was still surprised that there wasn't an attempt. You know, yeah. It just sort of seemed like the attorneys must have just given up. You know, they made the statement they didn't think that the state had proved its case. The evidence was overwhelming, you know, yeah. It was overwhelming. So I wasn't surprised that the jury, you know, came to their decision pretty quickly. But yeah, the defense's choice to just not do anything did surprise me. I would think if I were an attorney, I would feel like I need to at least put some effort into that, you know?
Do you think that was the choice of the defense, or was that the choice of Lori that said?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. I, you know, since she's been so grandiose, one would assume that she would have wanted people to come in and say good things about her and point out, you know, the various wonderful things that she thought she was doing for God. But it may also be that she did not want to listen anymore to them attacking Chad, which seemed to be about the only strategy they had during the trial, was attempting, particularly near the end, attempting to point out that, oh, she was influenced by this man. She changed when she was with this man. And I don't know that that was sitting well with her. You know, it could have been that she just didn't want to go there.
That's very much what I have heard, and I think we can even visibly see sometimes from what we've understood from people who have recounted her physical reactions in the courtroom when they would go down that road. So the answer to, you know, have people come and say nice things, I think we've talked about that. I don't think there was anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. Her own son, her sister, everyone who had been part of her little group. It's like nobody was willing to speak well of her at this point.
I think the only one that may have been able to go up and speak well of her was her co-conspirator, would have been Chad Daybell.
Right.
Which wouldn't have helped anything. But no. It is interesting, though, that they couldn't find anybody. It showed that I think she's was still very much in charge of what she wanted done. And, you know, you say grandiose. It's almost like the ultimate grandiose move, I think, in this is exactly what she did. Mm-hmm. Telling them to say, you didn't present a good enough case, after they just laid out like one of the most detailed cases you can lay out.
So much evidence. Yeah.
But to not have anything at all, I guess, was kind of shocking. Did you see, I mean, was there any potential road that they could have gone down? What were you expecting them to have laid out if they would have done something?
You know, and of course, if there had been the option of an insanity defense, I can certainly see that being viable. But that, again, would be something she probably would not cooperate with. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I think the only thing that they could do, which is what they did or attempted to, would be to say that she came under the influence of this Svengali character, Chad, and that he, you know, was directing everything. And that wasn't apparently going to fly either for her.
I'm really curious to see how the closing arguments will affect appeals and things down the road, because yes, I think she was directing things still, but it was not remotely sane what she wanted people to do. And in my opinion, this is just me observing, is that I think the defense went further than she wanted them to. Like, I think they implicated people she did not want implicated. They flat out accused people I don't think she wanted accused. They even kind of threw her under the bus at the very end of basically stating, yes, this woman, she's not right, and she followed this person. If this is something that you don't want your defense to do, and you are the one that's being tried, and your defense is going against your wishes, doesn't that open up a lot of grounds for appeal or something of that nature? I mean, I understand there's errors, but when you're flat out not doing what your client wants you to, but that's truly the only thing you can do, even though, because she doesn't know what's in her best interest. I'm just curious as to how that could affect appeal on this.
Yeah. That's an interesting legal quandary there. What would happen with that? Yeah, I have to imagine what it would be like to be her attorney. And I would think that this is just sort of the client from hell. You know, how do you work with somebody this difficult who just isn't going to go with anything that's viable?
I have no idea. I would not want to be them. And the circus does not end. After being sentenced here in the coming months, they're saying probably 3-4-ish months, saying it could go a little bit longer because of the profile of the case itself. After she's sentenced, she's going to be extradited back to Arizona to face counts of conspiracy to commit murder for the 2019 killing of her fourth husband, Charles Vallow. So there's likely going to be another trial here. When it comes to something like this, they've already got her, and I'm sure it's going to be a very stiff sentence, but then, yes, there is a chance of appeals and such. When it comes to another trial, another murder trial, when someone's already been put away for quite some time, do we typically see these come to fruition? Do we see them plead out? What do you expect to see in this next round of murders that she's accused of?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, because her decisions seem to be non-rational, and it's hard to imagine that she would think she's going to win in another trial. So it's speculative at this point, you know, what would she do, and would they offer her a plea, or would this, you know, be another trial with overwhelming evidence and just kind of a quick decision being made? I can certainly see it going that way.
It would be interesting. And they're also Maricopa County now, also in Arizona. Arizona, doing the extraditing, has announced that in addition to pursuing charges against Lori for the Charles Vallow death, they also plan on prosecuting her for the attempted murder of Brandon Boudreau. Recently making some very good statement, very positive statements, very much being the bigger person, if you will, that he certainly doesn't need to be. But he is, and saying, you know, looking for forgiveness and looking to move on and trying to find healing for all those involved. But it does appear that she will be charged with the attempted murder there. I'm curious, how far back do you think the string of death goes with Lori? I mean, we can look all the way back to her sister that died under kind of weird circumstances in the 90s. Alex always kind of doing her bidding. Do you think there's a lot more even than names that we don't know about?
It would not surprise me at all. It's just a completely bizarre family system. And who knows all the secrets that one would find if we knew everything. Usually with crimes, by the time somebody is caught and arrested, it's the tip of the iceberg. You know, there have been so many things that nobody ever knows. And that would not surprise me that there have been more questionable deaths.
Well, and what we're looking at right now, by what she has done, she is technically a serial killer with the two children, with the Tammy Daybell, and these other ones that are behind her, behind those. The Charles Vallow, the attempted on Brandon, who knows about what else or who else is out there. This is not just, you know, the mom that lost it or the mom that went down the road of religion. This is someone who has serially killed people. And that's what I'm wondering about. How far does this go back? We're just seeing the craziness now because it really went to this crazy surface of crazy. But I do wonder where, you know, how far we go back. She meets the standards. And I would not be surprised if there's more. And why do we hear nothing about anything from friends when we're talking 20, 30 years back? Is it difficult for people once they've moved on from someone like a Lori Vallow? I can't say we've all had a Lori Vallow in our life, but we've all had people that weren't the healthiest, I'm sure. And you make your distance from, and then, you know, maybe they were tight with you for a while and then they're not in your life and you just knew something was off. Do you think we're going to see more people come out and say anything, or are people, you know, they've spent their time, even if she did do something horrible, they don't want to bring that back into the world, that knowledge.
Yeah. I think if there were more cases that people were able to tie to her, I think they would have come forward by now, but who knows, you know, who knows? And there may be people out there who questioned things, and perhaps over time they're going to come forward. And, you know, people may have talked to law enforcement at this point, and it's not been disclosed, you know, because there's just no evidence and no way to prove anything. But I would think anybody who's known her, whether it be the cousins that have come forward or, you know, her uncle, other family members, they're reevaluating the whole history of that family and looking at things from a different angle. So it's a very weird bunch of people. You know, we're just left with this sense of a family that gave the appearance of normalcy and fine, upstanding religious people with an incredible amount of dark secrets going on and very strange behavior under the surface.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Siobhan Scott, author and psychotherapist, her book, The Minds of Mass Killers, Understanding and Interrupting the Pathway to Violence. Thank you so much for your insight. Always very much appreciated. If you want to weigh in on anything that we are talking about here on the program, we would love to hear from you. Phone number for that is 888-554-5537, 888-5-KILLER, to weigh in. We'd appreciate it. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.